Hello.
All right, hello. One second. Hi. Well, that is 4 o'clock on the dot. Welcome everyone. This is ADM Energy's shareholder conference call. With us on the line, we've got Oser, the CEO, and we've got Peter Francis, the chairman of ADM. And we're not going to go through a specific presentation, but we do have the company's presentation at hand, and we may point to some slides. And then there's some questions that have been submitted prior to the call, which we will then answer at the end of the presentation, following which we can open the floor up to other questions if needs be.
Thanks, Joseph. Good evening, everyone. My name is Osamede Okmina. I'm the CEO. And as Joseph has said, the plan is to briefly introduce myself as the chairman and then go over very briefly our history with the company, which is just about 7 or 8 months, then deal with you and open the floor. So can I start first by introducing Peter, our chairman, and he'll say a few words about himself. Peter?
Okay, thank you, Osa, and again, welcome everybody. My name is Peter Francis, and I've had around over 35 years in the oil industry, primarily with ExxonMobil and more recently with Shell, in positions finance, treasury, and government relations. I started my career in the North Sea on the Beryl Alpha project and have worked in projects in Norway, Nigeria, Indonesia, Equatorial Guinea, Angola, and more recently Russia and the Stans. I've lived in Nigeria on two occasions, totaling about 5 years. Firstly, with Mobil Producing Nigeria to complete a $1 billion financing with the World Bank, IFC, and various EXIMs for the giant Oso condensate field. And my second time in Nigeria was with Shell in charge of their Abuja government and legislative affairs group. I've also lived in Washington for the past 15 years, returning to the UK last year. And I'm a member of the board of Africare, which is an NGO focused on health, education, nutrition across sub-Saharan Africa. Now, one of the questions I always get is, why did I join a small cap company like ADM? And I'd just like to give you three quick reasons. Firstly, I see very high growth in ADM by consolidating our interest in the Aje field offshore Nigeria. Secondly, I know Nigeria very well. It's a huge oil and gas basin with proven reserves and a very high demand for gas to power up Nigeria. And the Aje field just offshore Lagos is well positioned to capture some of that market. And thirdly, I've known Oser for over 10 years, and he's a highly skilled negotiator. We have a very strong team in ADM, and I think we are really positioned for good success. So with that, I'll hand that back to Oser.
Thank you, Peter. I'll be very brief about myself. Oser Okmina, I was born in England. I've been in the industry for not as long as Peter, for roughly 17 years. I started off working with Norwegians introducing oil, deep water technologies into West Africa. Then I went and joined an upstream oil company. I was primarily responsible for doing their deals. I've done transactions in Equatorial Guinea, Mauritania, Libya, Egypt, and mostly Nigeria. That's in summary what I've done. We joined to go move on to ADM now. I joined ADM last summer in July. My primary duty was to restructure and reposition the company and prepare it for growth in the West African market primarily. And part of the first task was to restructure the board, inviting Peter and Manuel as a financier, And having restructured the board, we decided it was time for us to now focus on developing the company's asset base. Our prime, you know, in this business, you know, the biggest risk you have apart from geological risk and access to capital is knowing the asset well enough to know its history. In IJ, OM113, for instance, I've been involved in the asset for over 10 years. So I was sure that there were no surprises geologically. And more importantly, it was away from the problematic Niger Delta. In fact, OM113 was the first time Nigeria had produced oil outside Niger Delta. So we didn't have all the usual security problems and we're in a benign, safe location. Aside from that, the asset has been thoroughly explored. There are five wells in there. So we're not experiencing any geological surprises. So we've restructured the company. We understand the asset well. The next task was to find a long-term, credible, supportive financier, which is what we found in Trafigura. So Trafigura came in, they've known us for a while in my previous company, to support us in financing development of assets. So with Trafigura in place, we're now sure that we can go for incremental positions in OML1 and 3 and build out our production and our reserve numbers. So in effect, we've achieved our board restructuring, management restructuring, and we're now focused on expanding our interest in the asset, and the next step will be expanding production. So that, I think, is a reasonable summary, and perhaps if there's any other questions you may want to ask, we can deal with that later on. But in the meantime, perhaps Joe can raise some of the questions he received so we can use that to further discuss our business.
Yep, sure. As mentioned, there was a few cool questions submitted prior to the call. So I'll sort of start reading those off now for you guys to answer. First one was, how profitable is offshore production in the jurisdiction you currently belong, and what is the cost of production per barrel on the Aji field?
Okay. In terms of profitability, it's primarily determined by how we manage our cost base. In OML113, for instance, because we're offshore, our primary cost base are our production facility, the FPSO, and the team that manage the FPSO. Those are our two main cost base. Now, since the correction of the oil prices, we've gone back to those two main cost centers and asked the contractor, which is very common when oil price falls, to restructure and revisit their costs to us. I'm happy to say that in the last 3 months of negotiation, we've managed to cut our operating costs by roughly 40%, which means that even at today's oil price, which is roughly $35, the project itself is profitable. Our cost per barrel has now dropped to a range between $25 and $28. And as we increase production, the cost would not increase significantly, so we would achieve more profitability in the project itself. Joe?
Great. And the next question was, would it be possible to have an update on the progress of the MOU with Trafigura? Have any projects been discussed?
Yes, thank you. So the MOU is valid for a year and is extendable. There are no issues there. We've been working on a project with them since January. And the way the MOU, the agreement is structured, is that we present a project, they evaluate it, we agree on the commercial viability of the project, and then they provide us with what we call a project sanction. So the relationship is going on well. I've known the principals involved for many years. And we have a live project we're discussing with them. And I'm hopeful that in the near future, we'll achieve a sanction of the project for them. And then we can then look forward to coming up with a financial plan for the project. Thank you.
Great. The next one was, could you explain why you've chosen to engage with Align Research?
You know, we've known, I for one have known of Align for a while, and I've seen the way they've promoted and supported small cap companies, and I've seen their research notes. Before I joined this company, they actually did a pretty impressive research sort of the company. But more importantly, you know, I was comfortable with them in a very difficult market. They were not just asking to review research, prepare research of the company. They also introduced us to some investors who also put in capital. So, you know, they've done a good job. They've promoted the business well. They understand what we're trying to achieve. They've taken an appreciation of the long-term view of where the company wants to go. And quite honestly, I don't know what, I have no complaints. I think that's they've done a good job, and we hope to find more supportive promoters, investors, and marketing companies like research companies like this.
Great. Next one. Can you tell us how the company is coping with the current oil price environment, and is the Agi field generating profit? If not, what are the plans?
Yeah, I said, I think I touched upon this in my earlier comments. The project itself is profitable. That means that our cost of production is below our revenue base. So it's profitable, that's for sure. Now, in the development phase, the earlier development phase, there were some project debts that we were paying off on a project level. And as soon as those debts are cleared, then we'll be able to derive some dividend from the project. But it's profitable at this oil price. I mean, I said earlier on, thanks as well, significant cost reduction on operating level.
Okay, great. Next one. Could you explain why the share price is at the current level, and also have Peel Hunt decided to sell, and if so, why now?
The share price, I think, is suffering primarily from a legacy issue. You know, investors have been following this stock, I mean, I think the company is in its current form in around 5 years, and there have been many false starts. But I think primarily the stock is suffering from a fundamental legacy issue, which over time we hope investors become more relaxed. And having observed what we've done in the last, you know, 8-9 months, they will suddenly understand that we are here for the long term, and that the stock in the end, you know, achieve the value it deserves. That is one main issue. Of course, there's the old general market issue of COVID crisis, you know, collapse in demand. All the statistics are showing destruction of oil prices. I think Brent is at 34 today. You know, China is improving in demand. They're setting major producing assets that were shut in during the collapse. So those are creating supply disruptions. I think that as the world economy gets back into sync, we would benefit indirectly from an improvement in the oil prices. But I think fundamentally, there are legacy issues, and, you know, over time, people will become more comfortable with the management and its agenda, and will become more supportive. I also think that in London, in particular, there is still the demand is weak. A lot of investors suffered from the, you know, general stock market collapse. So there's very little buying support in the market. But I think that all these things would correct themselves. People would, you know, get back into the shape of things and start looking for growth stocks. And I think we're one of the good ones. Thank you.
Great. Next one, how will the company fund the drilling program next year?
Yeah, this goes back to an early question about Trafigura as well. How do small oil companies fund development? Typically, it's from what, you know, we call offtake financing. So a big trader like Trafigura, and there are many of them, Glencore, Mercuria, they're all over Nigeria. They're all doing the same thing. What I'm saying here is not new to our business. The trader comes in and says, you know, how much do you need? 100 million or whatever, gross. And they anchor the funding. So they say, in exchange for having the exclusive rights to lift and sell those barrels of oil. We will come in and anchor, you know, 30-40% of the project cost and bring in a syndicate of banks to support the development. Now, this is a very, very common structure, especially for producing assets. And I said earlier in the conversation, we are a producing asset, so there's very little in terms of geological risk. So typically, the traders come in with a syndicate of banks, and that's how, you know, many, many companies in our region are funding the development. So that's the primary source of financing. There's also the more secondary one where we get credit lines from vendors. You know, in these lower markets, service companies are dying for opportunities. Some of them give you drill rigs on credit, supply vessels, and you pay them from production. So there's no, it's not rocket science to structure an entire financing program with off-taker trading finance, with vendor finance from CapEx suppliers, you know. And, you know, it may be a little bit of equity, but primarily because of the producing asset and we're doing production expansion, it can be, the entire financing can be leveraged. So, so I've done this several times in my career, and so has Peter. So we're not really missed about that. Thank you.
Great. Next one. You announced a 35% reduction in HQ operating costs in the latest RNS. How has this been achieved?
I mean, like every other company, we were able to exit our lease with very little penalty. We've taken a cut on all salaries, significant cuts. And also, we've gone back to our retained service providers, our PR people, our brokers, our lawyers, and asked very politely that everyone should be mindful of the economic climate. So we've managed to, in terms of our suppliers, our office lease, and our management salaries, we've taken significant appreciable costs there, which have, you know, further us, allowed us to stabilize and manage our cash better.
Great. The Align report mentions that you have three deals under consideration. Can you provide any details at this stage?
Unfortunately not. We're not allowed to, you know, say too much in a closed setting. But suffice to say that we are in a buyer's market. What does that mean? It means that there are far more opportunities looking for oil companies than there are, you know, interested parties. So we're looking primarily at Nigeria. We're looking at the ExxonMobil divestment program, the Shell divestment program. These are things that Peter and myself, have considerable experience in. We have three transactions that have gone beyond just a hopeful conversation, and we will update the market sooner than later on. Yeah.
Great. Next one, how have you been able to navigate the fall in oil prices?
It hasn't been as bad as it seems from a distance. I said earlier on, this is my third oil collapse. Everyone panics and shouts to the end of the world, but it never really lasts that long. You know, we've seen this before. And typically what happens is that, you know, the first victims of a collapse in oil prices are your service providers, you know. All your service costs fall just as significantly, if not more, than oil prices. So we've managed to quickly respond and taking advantage of that to cut our, as I said earlier, significantly our operating costs. That's been good. But we also have significant storage capacity on our FPSO. One of the things that we did was that we froze our offtake and we started to store crude. I mean, we had up to 17,000 barrels capacity on our FPSO. And so we decided not to sell, and which has turned out to be a wise judgment, because if we sold as some were insisting in March, we would have sold at sub $20. Now it is at 35, and the forward curve, it looks even more aggressive. So I think our next significant sale will occur later in the summer or early in the autumn. So we've not, in terms of our balance sheet or our revenue base, we've not suffered at all from the oil price decline. In fact, we've gained by cutting our costs.
Great. And the last one was, what is it that you like about ONL 113?
I've covered this in bits and pieces so far, but essentially this is an asset that is in a completely secure and benign environment. It's offshore, more on the Benin Basin, West Africa, Nigeria. We have no security issues. I know the asset well. I've been involved in one form or another for 12 years. I know all the partners. There's very little geological risk. I mean, it's completely de-risked in terms of having drilled 5 wells in it. It's primarily gassy, which means that we don't have all the oil price volatility risk, because gas prices in West Africa have been remarkably stable and in fact have been growing. So for those reasons, it's a gassy asset, it's wet gas, so there's condensate in it. We understand the area, we understand the geology. You know, to me, it's like a no-brainer. And as you can see from the deal where we acquired a bit more from EER, we bought 1P barrel of oil reserves for 50 cents or less. Really cheap to buy more of it, and we understand it well. So those were my primary, those are our primary considerations in maintaining and in fact expanding our business assets. Anything else?
No, those were all the pre-submitted questions.
Joe, can I just add one point? This is Peter here.
Yeah.
Just on the last point. One of the things that I see certainly in RJ, it is a gassy asset. And as I mentioned earlier, it's close to the Lagos market. But within the field itself, we also have the West Africa gas pipeline, which passes through and goes up through Togo, Benin, and onto Ghana. And so in terms of export gas, when we come to the phase two, I think we see good market prospects there, not only within Nigeria itself, but also for export to make sure we get the best prices for that gas. So I just thought I'd mention that.
Thank you, Peter. Joe, should we take questions from the floor? Or do you,
Yeah, sure, that's fine. If you have got any questions, perhaps it's best if you're on Zoom and using the client, if you can raise your hand, I can then unmute you, just so that we don't have lots of people unmuted at once.
I hope that people can figure out what you just said about raising their hands.
Yeah, there is a button bottom right to do it. Otherwise, we can sort of unmute people one by one.
Okay.
All right, we'll do it one by one then. So we've got someone called Phil on the line. If you had any questions, just let us know.
Okay.
Okay, we've got someone on a telephone line. I don't have the name, but if you've got any questions, let us know.
That's probably me, Lewis. No, it's all good, thanks.
Yeah. Okay, great. One other telephone line. Hello? Yep.
Can you hear me? I'm on the telephone, but I don't know if I'm on mute. Ah, okay. Sorry about that. I wasn't sure. I did have a question, and I apologise because... I'm on the phone because I'm out and about, I couldn't hear some of it. What I wanted to ask is, what's the cost per barrel at the moment at AJ, on the AJ field? What's the break-even cost? Sorry, don't know if you can hear still. Hello?
Yeah, hello. Yeah, thank you for your question. Right now, post a pretty intense renegotiation with our suppliers, our break-even cost is about $25.
Brilliant, thank you.
That's because of the significant reduction we did when we took advantage of the rational prices.
And I just
thank you very much. That was my question.
It's Peter here. I would just add that, you know, we have a aggressive drilling program coming up next year. And obviously, as we produce and increase the barrels, then the net cost of production will fall quite dramatically from that $25 a barrel as we get volume coming through the vessel.
Thank you.
Okay, next one, Richard Carter, if there's any questions.
No, none for me, thank you.
Okay, I think, one more called Smudge Dan, if there's any questions from you.
Nothing from me, thanks, no.
Great. Okay, I think that's that, unless there was anything else you wanted to say, sorry, if there was any other slides or anything you wanted to pull up.
Nothing in particular, just to say that we intend to have these shareholder investor calls more often. We recognize that it's been a difficult market and there's legacy issues which we may be suffering from. We have to be rest assured that we know what we are doing and we are very focused and confident that we would achieve our objectives. Thank you very much.
Great. Thank you all for attending.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.